Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast with three Hollywood professionals, and getting more professional by the day, I might add. They have an hour, us, to take a humble idea and turn it to a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your thirsty co-host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Cherry Red Will Campos, the slamming flavor that brings all the screenwriters to the town. For story stuff.
Weird, Matt.
Oh, yeah! Yep. Mr. Kool-Aid Man, first and foremost. Writing director, second.
Well,
guess what we're doing?
It's the summertime months, and there is no better season of the year than to enjoy this powdered, sugary, corn syrupy beverage. We're doing Kool-Aid Man.
It can't be powdered and corn syrupy.
There's no dried corn syrup.
Is there such thing?
Your corn is dry.
Yeah, I know, but
when they make it
dry, yeah.
Anyways, so
the Kool-Aid Man.
Kool-Aid Man, baby. Oh yeah.
Before we dive too deep into it,
we blast through this story wall.
Yeah. Can one of you guys give me Will, do you have it up?
Yes, I sure
Will,
do.
Are you
asking for my favorite thing that I love to do, which is explain things to my mom?
Yeah, Will, explain to your mom who's listening right now what the Kool-Aid Man is.
I don't want to use the words even my mom knows Kool-Aid Man, because my mom is up to date on all of the latest trends and topics, but I feel like most people know about the Kool-Aid Man.
Maybe not overseas folks, though.
But maybe for our overseas listener, we can describe it, so I will go ahead and do that. Kool-Aid Man is a walking, talking, 6-foot-tall pitcher of cherry Kool-Aid, which is like a powdered punch beverage, sort of like akin to Tang. And so basically Kool-Aid Man is this big pitcher of red Kool-Aid with a smiley face, and he shows up wherever thirsty kids are thirsty they say, "Hey, Kool-Aid Man," and then he busts through a wall with his signature catchphrase, "Let me hear you now."
Oh, yeah.
There was definitely a Mad Men-esque writer's room with a lot of bullshit on a whiteboard, and they circled this one after.
Who's waiting to be cool?
Thirsty gents?
Not gonna be hot anymore, because I'm here.
Drink me.
Kool-Aid time.
How's it going, children? Would you like a sugary beverage?
I'm Kool-Aid.
All right, so he has a gravelly voice. He has a propensity of busting through walls. He is the mascot, the giant anthropomorphic pitcher of the beverage. It begs the question, what is the Kool-Aid Man? Is he the Kool-Aid within or the glass?
Yeah, what I like most about Kool-Aid Man is that he seems to be the only mascot where he feeds you himself.
It's very selfless of him. I agree, Matt.
And it's very strange. He's always like splashing his innards.
There's something kind of weird about, like in the commercial, like when the kids get wet with the Kool-Aid from Kool-Aid Man.
It is
weird. Like, is this like... there's some biological questions about where
I want to point to canon, because I do think that I think he feels the Kool-Aid inside of him.
I was
watching a compilation of the commercials.
Okay.
And he appeared to be sleeping behind a miniature golf course, and one kid putted and the ball went into his Kool-Aid, and then he instantly went, "Whoa," and stood up. Now, I don't think that was reacting to the ball dropping all the way down and hitting the rim of the glass. I think that was from the impact of hitting his Kool-Aid. He went, "Woohoo," like ticklish.
Like a neurological protoplasm. He has like a jellyfish. Like he feels all parts
of
him.
Yeah, I feel like
those are all nerve endings in there.
And it's also he's like
a loose collected liquid consciousness.
He's not glass man.
That's
not
true.
Pitcher man.
That's a good point.
He's not holding Tang in there.
That's true.
He is Kool-Aid Man.
This is like almost, this is like a classic cybernetics problem, which is like, are you your body or are you your brain?
Yeah.
Right? So like, is Kool-Aid Man the Kool-Aid? But his face is on the glass.
Well, yeah. I feel like the Kool-Aid is like of Samson.
I'm going to go ahead and
the Bible.
I'm going to go ahead and start the clock right
now.
Yes, because
ahead.
We're getting deep into the discussion.
It's like where his power comes from. And then if somebody were to, when they cut Samson's hair, he has no power. If you were to drain Kool-Aid Man, he would be.
Yeah, I do definitely think if you drain Kool-Aid Man of his Kool-Aid, he would die.
He's dead.
And finally, one more sort of piece of trivia about the Kool-Aid Man. The Jim Jones cult that infamously quote well the phrase drank the Kool-Aid come from.
We all know what the bad man did with the Kool-Aid.
Well, no, it's that it wasn't Kool-Aid.
Oh, it wasn't Kool-Aid.
It was Flavor-Aid. it was a different knockoff brand that they poisoned themselves with.
And then Kool-Aid came in and was like, we want part
of this. We need this fucking branding right now. See, their ad, their crack
ad team.
Okay,
so wait, but what does this have to do with Kool-Aid Man, Freddie?
I'm just giving a little bit of thing, just a little piece of trivia. Everyone says, you know, because the phrase, the popular
drink
colloquial.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. So you're trying to clear...
Kool-Aid's
Mr.
good
name. Mr. Kool-Aid Man's good name.
Guys, I'm Googling around right now, and I'm
guys,
just,
sorry.
Are, did you
this
find the
important.
Same thing that I just found?
That he's the precursor to Kool-Aid Man is the Pitcher Man?
No, I not that.
Holy shit.
Yes.
You just cracked this mother wide open, Matt.
What were you going to say? I was going to say that there was just there are a bunch of Kool-Aid Man comics, and in one of them, he does team up with Batman. let's circle around. For a little context, Freddie kicked down the busted through the wall and told Matt and I we were doing Kool-Aid Man today, and we were like, I don't know. And Freddie was like, you've got to wait until you hear this monster take I came up with.
Wow.
So
what, you're not doing me any favors.
That's exactly what you said though.
All right, so here's the thought. All right, it's summertime, right? It's summertime, and Kool-Aid, the Kool-Aid Man appears to have one reason, raison d'être, whatever, like the reason of existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is to satisfy the thirst of thirsty children. So it's like you're playing outside, it's hot, you're sweating, you're thirsty, Kool-Aid Man shows up and cures what ails you, okay? But what if, talk about a real existential crisis of Kool-Aid Man, but what if the thing kids need is not Kool-Aid? What if the things kids need... is fucking clean water, and this is Flint, Michigan, and Kool-Aid
Whoa.
Man.
Whoa!
And Kool-Aid Man has to save Flint, Michigan.
Okay, I actually think you're on this. I don't know if we should explicitly make it Flint, Michigan. But okay, no, but I think this is interesting, and I'll tell you why this is interesting. Because the Flint thing, like, it's also like. You see all this stuff with water rights and with Nestle, right? Like Nestle just taking our water and selling it back to us at $4 a pop or whatever.
Yeah.
And the idea of like immediately what leapt to my mind when you said that was that like your arc for Kool-Aid Man is at the beginning, like Kool-Aid Man just wants his Kool-Aid to taste good.
Yeah.
But by the end, like he cares about like the community or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Like,
yeah.
He's going to save the community. Wait a second though. Is this just the plot of, our Stretch Armstrong movie.
What was that again?
Yeah.
What, the Stretch Armstrong movie was like Stretch Armstrong makes like these beach shakes or something, and then wasn't it like the water turns bad, and then
he just
goes,
wants to be cool, and then he realizes he's got to help people.
Yeah, but then he goes to the big city because they're, like they're poisoning the water because they're making his beach shakes taste.
I just
bad.
If I were to throw.
I just
another,
want
really
I just,
quick.
I just want a scene where Kool-Aid Man meets his maker and just stares him down, red liquid galoshing about, and just be like, "Why did you make me?"
Okay. Kool-Aid Man cares about children.
He loves children.
He loves children. He's willing. He's made of glass, and he's willing to burst through brick walls to slake the thirst of thirsty children. So,
is it like Humpty Dumpty? Does Kool-Aid Man break?
Maybe that's like a plot point.
And the kid's got a...
Like he starts to leak, so it's like a good old film noir where your protagonist gets more and more injured throughout.
Just
like, I'm losing Kool-Aid.
Oh, it's like a Double Indemnity thing where like the beginning is like a gutshot Kool-Aid Man lying on the floor as cherry Kool-Aid spilling out of him, and he's like leaving a voice recorder message for Edward G. Robinson.
Maybe it's like, okay, here's another thing. Like, what's one of the problems with... Okay, you've all seen 127 Hours, right?
Yes.
You constantly have to remind the audience how many hours it's been, right?
What are you talking about?
It's like, how many hours has it
that
been?
That was my least favorite part of 127 hours was the 24 o'clock going in the
but
background
the
every
thing.
5 seconds.
Here's the thing. If Kool-Aid Man got stuck in the desert or whatever, he himself is a ticking clock. Like, you could just track how long he is surviving.
That really was the problem with that movie, was that it wasn't
Kool-Aid
Man.
Oh, you gave me an idea. Imagine Life of Pi, but it's a thirsty dude and the Kool-Aid Man are trapped in the desert. And he's like, I need to drink you. And Kool-Aid Man's like, I know the way out of this desert. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's talk about conflict.
Whoa. It's just like a scorpion and the frog type
thing.
Yeah. So the kid wants to drink the Kool-Aid.
Right,
and but Kool-Aid Man, okay.
That
but
is
Kool-Aid,
Kool-Aid
Man,
though.
Like, knows how to fish, and they're on a boat in the middle of the Pacific.
But the whole time, the kids are just like, "We could drink Kool-Aid Man."
I like that you looked at Life of Pi. It was like, what that movie needed to work was that the tiger, and you'd be like, "I know how to steer the boat."
Well, no, but
like,
there's
not
a symbiotic...
the, not the morality of, like, should I consume this living being, well, my only companion?
All right.
Look, I think we should look at, I think this Life of Pi thing's interesting.
I do too. So far, idea, I'm intrigued by Life of Pi.
The idea of Kool-Aid Man, like, in a survival situation, and then this...
You know,
really
it's a survival movie, and you know what you call it? Aid. And then you get people.
I like it wasn't Kool-Aid, but Aid.
Aid.
There are two pictures that are freaking me out right now.
Yes.
One is a picture of Kool-Aid. They're the same picture, essentially.
Okay.
One, but they are, both involve Kool-Aid Man holding a pitcher of Kool-Aid or a cup of
that
Kool-Aid.
That's strange.
Which is a lot of. So it's like, he is a pitcher of Kool-Aid. He's like, hey, kids. And then he's holding a pitcher of Kool-Aid.
Get off Google Images. All right.
Let's circle in on Life of Pi.
That's
with
what
Kool-Aid.
I was kind of joking. I mean, I wasn't really joking when you said the kids drink him. I was like, it's the giving tree. It's like the idea that this Kool-Aid man is going to slowly give himself to.
Whatever. These kids. Yeah, these kids.
It's a whole group of kids.
Yeah.
It's a group of kids. Where are they lost? What happened?
All right. So, I mean, just to, as we're feeling those details out, I mean, the sketch of what you're talking about is that this is a survival movie.
Yes.
Where these kids are going to, like, Kool-Aid Man is going to help them on a perilous journey.
Imagine if Kool-Aid, here's my attempt at, imagine this is kind of like the frame, this doesn't make any sense. Imagine the framework of like a kid who doesn't believe in Santa, bear with me.
Okay.
It's a too cool for school 18-year-old who's definitely fucked before, who wants to be an actor.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And he wants to be like really popular, but the only gig he's gotten is a Kool-Aid commercial where he looks young enough, so he's gonna play 14. He's like, I'm not 14, I'm cool, I'm 18. And then he goes this thing and he thinks this, and he's doing a really bad job because every time the fake Kool-Aid man comes in and says, oh yeah, he delivers his line like, man, sure excited Kool-Aid man showed up. They're like, cut, this is doing terribly. Then the real Kool-Aid man shows up and takes him on, like, you know, a journey. And then at the end, he's like, no, a Kool-Aid man is really cool. And then he does his the next day they film it again. And this time he delivers his line and he goes, no, you guys are right. Kool-Aid is very cool.
Sorry, was
print
that crickets?
It.
Was
print
that
the
crickets?
Legend. That's the episode, everyone. No. All right. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff I like there.
No, let's go with Life of Pi.
What? No, what? No, what? No. You just described the act one of the Life of Pi movie.
Okay.
Yeah, Life of Pi doesn't start on the boat with the tiger, Matt.
Yeah, God, Matt.
It starts with him like talking about swimming pools and other dumb
shit.
It
starts with clarifying the sexual experience of the teenage character of the movie.
I was just picturing you just do eat too much. Mama Tambien, but it's the Kool-Aid Man instead of the girl.
Yes.
An erotic journey through the desert.
These two guys both have sex with their teenage girlfriends, and then they leave, and they're both sitting there, and they jerk off in a pool, and then they're like, man, I'm really thirsty. And the Kool-Aid Man shows up. He's like, hey, you guys wanna go on a trip around Mexico?
E cool mama Tom Bier. Okay, so to zero in a la 127 hours, I did have the idea that, okay, so like the 127 hours is one of my favorite movies. And
really,
yeah, it's really good. And yeah. I think the screenplay is a miracle. I think that movie is somehow manages to be a compelling, thrilling adventure movie with a ton of twists and turns, even though it's just James Franco with his arm stuck under a rock. I think it's brilliant. Hmm. But shouts out to my boy Simon Beaufoy for writing that one. The movie is all about this guy who's an individualist. You know, like, he goes out into the desert. He doesn't tell anyone where he's going. He's isolated from other people in his life. And then he gets stuck, and that's part of the whole thing. And then the movie has this really perfect climax moment where after he's sawed his arm off, he's stumbling through. You're like, oh, you think that's going to be the end of the movie, right? Like,
yeah.
He cuts his arm off. But no, the real climax is he's trying to get back to civilization with a bleeding stump for an arm. He's dehydrated. He's been out with water for 7 days. And it gets to this point where he sees these two people in the distance. And the only way out, and this whole movie is about basically been an ode to man's self-reliance at this point. This guy gets into this position. He cuts his arm off. He's totally self-reliant. And at the climax of the movie, he has to scream at the top of his lungs, I need help. Mm. And then the entire movie pivots around that. And that's when all of a sudden he's like doused with water and like the water imagery comes back and stuff. So basically this is a very long way of saying that I was like, could you do a movie that builds up to the kids screaming – We want Kool-Aid, right? They say, we want Kool-Aid, and then the Kool-Aid man busts in. So I was like, do you do, like, sound like, can you, this cool, like, the teen who fucks who's doing the job where he had to shave his pubic goatee and be a pretend 12-year-old, like, you strip him down to his barest elements, and then he has to scream at the climax of our movie, like, I want Kool-Aid, and then the Kool-Aid man shows up to save him. And
His thirst
is finally slaked.
Okay. Let's say we're getting hired by like one of those Christian movie companies. We talked about we should make a Christian movie. Maybe it's all about temptation. And then the end of the climax is like, they're like, come on, drink with us. Have some whiskey. Have some vodka. Have some sin juice. And the kid's like, oh, sounds really cool. And then finally he's like, ugh. And he's like, no, I want Kool-Aid. And then Kool-Aid man shows up. He's like, hey, kids. And then they just have like a good Christian fun.
Drunk ass party with Kool-Aid.
The Kool-Aid's like, put the vodka
man's like,
in me.
Put this in me and I'll become awesome. Yeah.
That's why I say, what does Kool-Aid want? What does Kool-Aid
want? What does he want?
Because I can't really get, like, even if you're going to do this Life of Pi thing, what is that? Is it about, like, Kool-Aid man is selfish, so he doesn't want to give, is the story from the kid's point of view, where they're like,
yeah, Life of Pi is still a story.
The giving tree
stories
is like a fucked up, like, it is just it's a tree who just gives and gives and gives, and this kid just takes and takes and takes. 127 hours is like, is the Kool-Aid man?
The Kool-Aid man wants to be drunk.
Is the Kool-Aid man the survive? Like, is the Kool-Aid man James Franco's character, or is the kid with him James Franco's character? Which means Kool-Aid man's like the Rock.
Okay, so I think we need to just set this up.
So it's someone trapped under the Kool-Aid man. Yeah, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm just trying to think. Like, I don't have a anchor.
Yeah. What drives the Kool-Aid man? What gets him up in the morning and through those brick walls 4, 5, multiple times a day?
Where does Kool-Aid man begin and where does he end?
To throw something out there, the archetype I started thinking of was the wrestler. You ever see the wrestler?
Yeah.
It's like, imagine.
Yes, go.
So it's like washed up Kool-Aid man, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, and energy drinks are huge now.
Yeah,
you know?
Again, because you're like, Kool-Aid man's not cool anymore. And then you do
like vitamin water.
Like, the doctors are like, you have tiny compound fractures all over your body from however all the times you've busted through walls, right?
And you,
like,
bust through another wall and
you're done, dude.
You could shatter.
Yeah. So like, you do, it's like, and he's had like, you know, like the, you know, it's instead of him juicing on steroids, it's like him juicing on super glue, like putting these little pieces
back in him.
And like Marissa Tomei, he like takes off his shirt and Marissa Tomei sees all the cracks on his back. You do like, it's like
sexy.
The end of The Wrestler, where he, you know, like he does that dive bomb off of the top rope, it's like at the end of the movie is the Kool-Aid man running to bust through that wall, and you're like, is he gonna survive it? Is he gonna make it through that wall? And you're like, he's dead already. Like, you know, like, he gave up his soul the second.
So you definitely
want
to do the dark version of that.
I don't know. But that was my thought. Like,
it's like the
maybe
kid's like,
we
I want
that.
Kool-Aid, and then you just hear a big crash.
And then red juice trickles under the door.
It's just a cut to a brick wall, which you've seen busted down so many times.
Well, what you do
but
is
it'd be, time,
okay,
it stays.
It stays.
These kids are like, I want Kool-Aid. And then you cut to Marissa Tomei and Kool-Aid Man, and they're just finished making love. And she's like, just stay with me forever. And then all of a sudden he looks up. She's like, what happened? And he's like, I heard some children say my name. She's like, you don't need to answer that call. You've done this for too long.
They're chanting his name. It's like a whole auditorium full of thirsty school kids going, we want Kool-Aid. Wait, and Sweet Child of Mine starts playing, and he's like, listen to them, Marissa Tomei.
Okay, what was that stunt? What was that stunt? There's a similar. What was that stuntman movie? Because the stuntman movie is the fun version of that. Is it Burt Reynolds?
Stunts.
Yeah, it's called Stuntman.
It's
no,
called Stunt
no,
Dudes.
Stunt.
The
no.
Burt
called Stunters.
Sorry, the Burt Reynolds stuntman movie is called Stuntman.
Hooper.
Oh, Hooper.
You guys didn't go see this. We got to watch Hooper. Hooper's incredible.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, Hooper's similar in that. Hooper is like that. Except that there's also a young Kool-Aid man. But it's like an old...
What if Kool-Aid man has a daughter? Monster energy drink.
But Hooper is
and
like
she's
this...
a gamer and he doesn't understand her.
But just remember, Hooper is like this old stunt man. They're like, you're getting too old for this. Like, you know, kids are already breaking your records. You got to stop. And then there's like a challenge that's like too deadly. Mm-hmm. And his wife's like, I've watched you so many times almost die. Like, can you stop? Like, don't you love me? He's like, of course I love you. You're the most important thing in the world other than stunts. And then she's like, but can you stop with the stunt? It's too deadly. And you're like, oh man, this movie's going to be about that. And then that day he's like, you know what? I'm still going to do the stunt. And then he does the stunt. And the wife's like, that's just stunt was awesome. And then he punches the studio exec that said he was too old, and then he walks off into the sunset, the most badass dude with his hot wife. That's Hooper. So it's like,
you know what though? You know what though? Is I feel like, and I feel like this is a young man's game, is that like I feel like there's something inherently ageist about these stories where the moral is like, don't even try, old people. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, that was what was fun about Space Cowboys, was that Space Cowboys was just like wrinkly Clint Eastwood and Donald Sutherland being like, fuck you, we still got it. We're going to fucking blow up space and shoot Tommy Lee Jones's corpse to the moon.
There's a reason why that movie made money.
Yes. Did it make money?
It did.
Okay.
It did very good.
All right. All right. I like that. I like the stunt man, but it's with. All right. So you got old Kool-Aid man, and he's like a spokesman.
You know what? Have you ever enjoyed an energy drink more than Kool-Aid when you were a kid?
Nah, Kool-Aid's that sweet ambrosia. It's that nectar of the
gods. I feel like it's like people are telling him to stop. It's like, stuff's vegan now. There's no sugar and stuff anymore. He's trying. Even
like, you look at the look. You look at the lips and the eyes of this child, and you tell me he doesn't love my sweet nectar.
It's like, my kids only drink kombucha, and he's like, and then,
that's not how you pronounce it.
And then,
that's
at the
not
end,
Matt, I don't know if that was racist or
kombucha.
What. Just I don't know what you were putting on that kombucha when you
all
said
all I'm saying
weird
is
kombucha.
I love the fucking love that English that you put on that word, Matt.
And then you do that in the
you
end.
Said, like, you said kombucha like it was the name of like a wacky 90s board game turned game show.
it's gross, whatever it is. I've tried it.
And Matt's drunk some really fucking gross shit.
But it's like,
too.
Yeah, and then it's, but in the end, it's like, you know what? Sometimes just a little bit of sugar and some food dye and some water is exactly what a kid needs.
That's fair.
And
that's fair. Yeah, you have like a bunch of kids who are like a frail, like vegan kids drinking almond milk. And it's like, my mom won't let me have real cool stuff. And he's like, Timmy's got to bring a box lunch. And like, everyone's got Lunchables. Like, yo, check out this dope shit. And he's like, I got 3 pieces of celery. How I wish I could have just a hint of sugar water. Like, you know what I mean? And then Kool-Aid Man fucking saves his life.
I like the idea that this movie takes place in a world where drinks are so cool. Like, all kids talk about is how cool their drink is that they're having. They're like,
what if it was a drink universe? Like, there's Capri Suns.
Like, his roommate is the Hawaiian Punch Man.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Are we breaking this wide open?
I mean, you might as well. Look, all right, but to be serious for a second, as serious as someone can be about this idea. Like, if you were going to do this, like, okay, now you're saying you're doing, like, the mascot comes. It's like the later Chester Cheetah ads have had, like, Chester Cheetah being, like, explicitly the spokesman for Cheetos, right?
Yeah.
So you're, like, in a world like that, essentially, where a Kool-Aid man is the spokesman for the Kool-Aid brand. It's kind of like when we did Joe Camel, right? And so you do, he's the spokesman for this brand, and Kool-Aid's not cool anymore, and he's trying to make it cool, and like maybe he goes to the X Games or something.
He's broken. He's too old. He can't break through walls anymore. He's got. I like Marissa Tomei being like, you got too many cracks. The next wall could break you. And it's like,
not breaking through the bricks. Those bricks are breaking you, Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, they're breaking you, Kool-Aid man. He's like, I don't have to break through walls, but I can still do skateboards and stuff. Like, that's still cool. They're like, nah, kids don't ride skateboards anymore, man.
Yeah, skateboards suck.
It's like,
what about snowboards? Like, actually, skis are cooler and a better way of getting down the hill. No way.
We need to pull the trigger on something, guys. We're spinning around.
What is? I will keep asking this
question. I like the wrestler.
But what does Kool-Aid Man want? What is the story about? That's what we the
Here's what it is. Okay. Yeah, I got it. What's Kool-Aid Man always go through?
Balls.
Exactly. Where? Okay, it's China. And Kool-Aid has not been introduced here. And the oppressive Chinese government is like, no American beverages, only Chinese. And Kool-Aid Man's like, there's one last wall I gotta break through. And Kool-Aid Man wants to bring his beverage to the people of China. But the one thing holding him back, the same thing that held the goddamn Mongols back, the Great Wall. And that's what he's gonna bust out. And the Chinese government's like, you cannot do this. Do you know what I mean? Because they'll be very against
okay,
that.
Okay, all right. I'm intrigued,
because
here's what you would do. No. Here's what you do. Because, again, we've always said that his goal is to slake the thirst of thirsty children, right? And so you do. The beginning of the movie is he's doing one of his wacky promotional stunts, and he gets a big crack, and he's like, oh, my God, I'm mortal, right? Like, I am going to die someday. Like, I can't keep busting through walls forever. Again, it's like, you've only got 200 walls left to bust through, man. You better make them count. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, you do. he's like dealing with death, but mm-hmm. he still has this goal of wanting to, you know, like continuing his mission to give Kool-Aid to the world and mm-hmm. to satisfy the thirst of these thirsty children. But the Chinese government won't let him into China, right? And you would even do, there's like a knockoff Kool-Aid that
and it's poisoning,
I would do
the
this,
kids.
Poisoning the kids. It's got asbestos in it.
I would do, and, okay, well, that's harsh.
No. But then he's like, I've got to get to those kids. They need Kool-Aid. Like, that's Kool-Aid can solve this problem. And then he's like, he's preparing for his last, but they're like, Kool-Aid, man, you can't do it. You don't have what it takes to bust through that last wall.
Can it just be that the kids want Kool-Aid? I don't know if it needs to be that the kids are dying because of the Chinese government.
I like there's being the stakes.
It's just, it feels problematic. That's like the Chinese government is killing their children with
Let me suggest it's not the government.
Go ahead.
It just feels like the wrong sort of movie. It's like you could just also be he wants to give he gives kids Kool-Aid not because it's Flint, Michigan or kids don't have water. He gives them Kool-Aid because Kool-Aid's fucking cool and fun. So the world in China should be not cool and fun. It should be that because, you know, you might even do that. It's like healthier and all this other stuff if you want to make it that's actually better than America. But it's just the one thing that's missing is that the president of China has kind of forgotten like how fun being a kid should be. So his kid wants to drink Kool-Aid, but they're not allowed to drink Kool-Aid or any other sugary drinks because it's not healthy for you, which is fair because it's not. Right. But you need a little bit of sweet in your life. So it should be there's a ban on unhealthy foods or whatever. And then this kid writes to Kool-Aid Man being like, I love Kool-Aid. I remember the one trip I had to America, I went to a friend's party and they gave me Kool-Aid. And I wish there was Kool-Aid here, but my dad won't let me. And you can make him like, you know, kind of a cartoonishly bad dad in terms of like no Kool-Aid rather than like we're poisoning children with death Kool-Aid. Well, I was like, is that more problematic?
No. It's not about that. It's about whether it's interesting. Not specifically with regards to the other thing. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. Like, I like the idea of the wrestler type thing, Kool-Aid Man's existential crisis, a life well served, but there's always more thirsty kids out there, right? Like, I think that's interesting.
That's the problem with thirst. You always get thirsty again.
So my question becomes, whatever, and we can get into the specifics of his mission in a second. I could also see a thing where it is like, you know, like like why he has to bust through, whether it's the Great Wall of China or whatever he's going to bust through. He's like, I got to bust through one last wall, essentially. Where it's like one of those movies where the bank robber's got to do one last job.
One last big score.
So then this is a movie where, again, like especially if your theme is kind of like, again, like, you know, Kool-Aid in moderation, like maybe Kool-Aid Man's got to learn a little moderation himself. I don't know, though. I'm just trying to like, what is your turn for him? Who's the new person that enters his life? What is the new status quo for him?
What if in China, they invent a drink that makes you never thirsty again.
Where are you going with this?
So that's like, talk about an existential crisis.
We already have the existential crisis. He gets a crack when he tries to bust through a wall.
To me, it feels like, look, okay, this is my pass. Because it's all like, right. Again, it's, even that, it's like, I'm not getting into just like what Kool-Aid wants. Like, yes, we need the turn, but it's like, it's Kool-Aid in moderation, but what Kool-Aid wants is that he brought happiness to kids. It's like a story about like an old toy salesman and nobody likes fucking wooden toys anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like he brought happiness to kids and now kids don't drink Kool-Aid anymore. I don't know if this is true. I don't have a fucking child, but for the sake of this movie, kids don't drink Kool-Aid anymore. They play video games and ski and skateboard
Soylent.
Or whatever and slam Soylent. And he has one last show and he wishes he could bring happiness to kids, but he just doesn't bring happiness to kids anymore. And maybe he's gone to a point where he's accepted that. And he's finally going to retire because no one is getting out of it. He's given so much and he's never taken anything for himself. And he's got cracks in his armor, in his pitcher, whatnot. He's ready to retire, but he wishes. And you know, and I think he retires with a little bit of bittersweet, like, less that he's achieved than like the world's moved on without him. And then he gets this shot because there's this cry for help in another part of the world where this kid's like, we need Kool-Aid. There's not fun. The kids don't have fun drinks over here. I need Kool-Aid Man. And he doesn't realize like, and so then he makes this decision. Is he going to retire like he was about to, or is he going to take one last hurrah to bring Kool-Aid to the kids? And then he shows up and he's not welcome because he thinks it's like, oh, China wants Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't realize that's just one kid, you know, who's the son of the president, who's doing this specifically to go against his dad, and he gets there and he's unwanted. So then he starts gathering, like, Step Up 3D style, he starts gathering other cool cool figures. They don't have to be other cool aids. They can just be like a cool, you know, hip hop artist and a cool street
Chance the Rapper shows up.
Yeah, and like a cool like street artist, you know, and then like a skateboarding dude and a beat poet girl. And he's like, we're gonna be cool again. And then
a beatnik and a hippie and a hot rod greaser kid.
All the stuff that Matt thinks is cool.
Like one of those but guys anyways, that got cigarettes rolled up on this white sleeve t-shirt.
He's trying to spread coolness.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
Putting aside whether it's China, because, again,
yeah,
I'm a little...
Own, yeah.
It's just because the Great Wall.
Okay, I mean. Yeah. No. Very compelling. I agree. But here's what
it's
I like.
Like...
Okay, just give me a second.
Yeah.
I really like the... Again, if you were to do the Kool-Aid Man's more or less the superhero. He's this party superhero,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And back in the day, if you shouted... If you had true beauty in your heart, if you had true joy in your heart, and you shouted, I want Kool-Aid, like he could hear it, and he would come, and he would bust through a wall. He would move heaven and hell to get you Kool-Aid, right? To kick your party up a notch. But it's been years since he's heard the call.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? You know, like he's living this quiet life, contemplating his own mortality, right? And the world has forgotten him. And then you would do... He hears the call one night, like late one night. Like he's almost forgotten about being Kool-Aid Man. They're like, are you Kool-Aid Man? He goes, used to be.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
He hears, I want Kool-Aid Man. At first he thinks it was just a dream, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Like he's at breakfast the next day with Marissa Tomei. And then he hears, I want Kool-Aid. And he's like, it's that kid. It's someone. Someone wants Kool-Aid. And they're like, you're just old and senile now, Kool-Aid Man. No one wants Kool-Aid. No one wants you anymore. So first, like the first part of the adventure is like trying to figure out where this call is even coming from, right? Because it's just this one voice. He's got to get back in touch with his powers. He's got to put his whole team back together. And then, yeah, he discovers it's this kid, and maybe it's like North Korea, or it's like, you know, some sort of like dystopic country. We always joked about doing like a fake American state as like your fake country, because it's like fake countries are so weird and kind of gross. Like the idea is like, yeah, it's just somewhere-istan or whatever, but like to do like it's like fake Montana and like there's like a, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, not saying that you necessarily do that, but like he discovers like, oh my God, like I have one last mission I gotta do. I gotta bring the party to this, you know, this. Again, it's like almost like it's like a Footloose town that's banned sugar and has a giant wall. I don't know if they have the giant wall, but anyway, I feel like you do. Again, like he shows up in the town. He realizes there's like this. No one in the town knows how to party and have a good time, right?
Yeah.
We can make it Footloose because that gets rid of the problematic issues of saying China doesn't have fun.
And you know what I like? I like the idea of like whatever you have your stodgy old mayor who's like, you know, like keeping fun away from everyone, and like, you know what I mean, like. The final wall he breaks through is like
the mayor's emotional
heart.
Wall. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it doesn't have to be the town has a wall. It could be like the
metaphysical
and ultimate climax before the climax of breaking the mayor's eternal wall is, you know, the mayor puts up a wall and he breaks through it.
I like that.
I would even do the way you start the movie is you start with like him in, you'd even like maybe even do the commercials, but like him at the heyday, he's like fucking Kool-Aid Man, he's spreading joy around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks older and it's like, you know, now it's like 20 years later and it looks like he's getting ready for Kool-Aid again. It's like somebody's like, I want Kool-Aid, and he busts through and it's a corporate event for the 50th anniversary of Kool-Aid Man, and it's like that, he's like, hey, and they're like, this is the last time anybody's gonna say Kool-Aid because they're retiring.
And it's like, yeah, and they're all, and people are like Snapchatting him,
yeah,
and he's like,
oh,
what is going
Kool-Aid
on
man. He's such an old icon, this is really cool.
It
he's
cuts
like, well,
to
I
the next
that's
morning
it. Nobody calls for Kool-Aid anymore.
It cuts to the next morning and it's like, I hurt myself today. Hey. And it's him like washing his hands, like looking in the mirror.
You know what you even
to
do?
See if I could feel.
Yes, it is this like very, like, it is this very.
Very indie, handheld.
I was
going to
be
know?
Problematic about small towns, but whatever. It's like you do, but it is like, you would even do that. There's no TV or nothing fun in this town.
Yeah.
It's like super footloose. And this
super
kid,
footloose.
And this kid finds, they don't have any new TV. They don't have cable, internet,
like
or anything.
A VHS
like that.
Tape or something.
And it has old Kool-Aid commercials.
Yeah.
And like, that looks fun, man. I want some Kool-Aid. And he hears it.
Yeah.
He's like, what was that? And he goes searching for it. And it's very faint. And then, yes, he goes on a road trip with Mr. Tomei. And they show up in Footloose.
Oh, you know what's great, too, is that, okay, because yes. This kid is so scared of getting caught wanting Kool-Aid that he can only whisper to the wind, I want Kool-Aid. So he can't shout it to the top of his lungs like most kids do, which is how Kool-Aid Man hears it.
Yeah.
So again, it's like this faint like spark on the wind that he's listening for. And then, but like as he gets closer, he starts to hear it. But then, yeah, you do like a big moment is like the kid has to yell it, right? And like, and be unafraid. It's almost like a coming out metaphor or something. It's like, he's like, I have to just be, I have to, I just have to love Kool-Aid, right?
Yes. In front of the whole town.
In front of the whole... He's just got to scream it. But he goes out to the desert to scream it, right? Like the like, and then there's a lightning crack, and the Kool-Aid man busts through a wall. He's like, I'm here.
Or kind of like Dirty Dancing. It could also be like the climax where it's like after the whole, most of the movie, you know, the dad's like, I sent Kool-Aid man home. He knew that it was the right thing. Now you're going to have your... whatever, your event, and we're going to be serving water like we're supposed to. And then the kid goes up and he's making a speech. He's like, I am now 18 and I'm very, my dad is great and here's whatever this town's about. I agree that coal is the cleanest energy. And then all of a sudden he screams, I don't want you all to be drinking water. I want you all to be drinking Kool-Aid.
Say it with me.
Me. And they're like, what?
We want Kool-Aid. And then they're like, stop that right now. Yes. Cut his mic, but they're too loud.
Close the doors. He can't get in here no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And then Kool-Aid, who is cracked and stuff, and like the kid just whispered, the screams give him the power.
Yeah. He busts through the wall. Yeah.
And then it was that was a load-bearing beam. And then
he just destroys them. Okay. All right. You got an ending. You got this kid. This kid is in a small town. So is it the whole town? Is it just like this kid? Or maybe it's just this kid's family, like, blocks him off from anything sweet?
I think it's the whole town. And it's like, and the teens and the children of the town are like, man, is this what life is going to be like?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In this town.
It's adults. It's kids versus adults.
Liberal media hasn't put up billboards with women in bras selling bras or people
burn all the Sears catalogs you have lustful thoughts.
This is super pure and we only drink water and there's no sugar in this.
It's like
town.
A town that has like a little mineral
okay
spring.
So it's like a pretty isolated town. Like one thing, they have like an export that they do, like they all make, there's like a factory or maybe they all, again, you were telling me there's these towns where
there's still a utopian society that was starting in the 1840s in somewhere in North New York that's still is a refrigerator manufacturer.
Yeah, they make refrigerators.
Like,
they've been there for
200 years.
Interesting.
So yeah,
they make mini fridges.
Oh, and then what better to put
in your mini fridge than on frosty cold? You know, like they're making these fridges and they're like, what do people put in them?
Yeah,
you know. Well, I mean, they know what people put in refrigerators, but they're like,
sin in them. We only put water,
cool, clear water.
It would almost be easier if it was just from the point of view of the kid and not because the fun. If you weren't started with Kool-Aid Man. Mm-hmm. Which you have to then question, like, is Kool-Aid Man like sleeping on a couch? Does he have a home? Because if you did that, the kid accidentally says, I want Kool-Aid, and he shows up. Like, the thing could be like, Kool-Aid Man's like, I can't leave. You called me. And now he's got to hide Kool-Aid Man.
Yes.
And
holy
stuff.
Shit. Last minute break from Matt Arnold. It's like E.T. with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Kool-Aid Man doesn't have to be the big character.
You were going
to
say it's like Beasts of the Southern Wild, the whole movie you're wondering when the beasts are going to show up. And then right at the end, it's like, dun, 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 dun. And the kid looks, and there's like giant Kool-Aid Man coder. No, but yeah. That's great. Yes. Okay. So yes. All right. You just clicked it because you do this kid in refrigerator town and he's like, they have no fun. They have no movies. They have nothing. Right. Because they're like, you know, for whatever reason, the refrigerated ice around the mayor's heart, which will, they'll be the last wall to get busted through, you know, like his son died from having too much fun.
I have a really dumb gag in this.
Or someone's diabetic.
This comes from a place of love. Because again, I was raised Catholic, but like you do, I'm just assuming this is like a very Christian town. It's like they're whatever the kids like drinking in school, they're having a good time, they're like listening to cool music the first time, and him and Kool-Aid Man are dancing, and I was just like, wait a second, I forgot there's gonna be a baptism right here, and the door's open and they gotta hide him, so they really quickly, he's like, here, and they put a cloak over him pretend it's the baptism bath, and then the priest's like, why is the baptism water red,
and they
the
think it's
like,
a demon has come to the town, and then they start looking, and then like the exorcist comes.
I was gonna say, the kid's like, oh, I scented it with strawberries, and the priest's like, well, that's very good of you, that sounds great.
Okay.
They baptize the kid in Kool-Aid. We all know it's Kool-Aid. Everybody else thinks it's water. And the kid comes out, and then you see the little baby lick his lips and goes, ooh. And you're like, he was literally baptized in Kool-Aid.
Yeah. He gets dunked, and then he comes out with shades on. Yeah. and then it's like the Ooga, it's the, what's it, the baby. Remember the Ally McBeal dancing baby? Just you do a big one of those, and they're like, what happened to this baby? And they go, oh, no.
Actually, it's so dumb, but somehow all the kids keep getting baptized in Kool-Aid. So in terms of the moderation thing, they're like, it's funny at first, but then everybody's like, all of our babies aren't eating their...
All of our babies are too cool.
No, I was going to say, all of our babies have sweet teeth now. Sweet sweet teeth. They're like, they're not eating their baby food anymore. They don't want crumpled up peas. They want Kool-Aid. They only drink Kool-Aid. So now all the kids.
That might be too far.
Okay, but yes.
Okay, all right.
So the baby definitely gets baptized in Kool-Aid and comes out with Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So act.
That's the trailer. That's in the trailer. I don't know why you guys are.
This kid is set up to. I'm trying to think of like what your climax is, and I feel like this kid is responsible for whatever lame party it is because they don't have proms here because that's sinful. It's like
they have like
the hay festival, and he's got the theme. It's up to him for like the he's like up to him to like have the theme, and he wants to impress like whatever a girl, or if you want to be less gender normative, you can do this. He's gay, and he wants to impress a guy, or maybe he doesn't want it for love for any reason, but he just wants to impress people. And then at the end, of course, this hay party is gonna be super cool because it's gonna have Kool-Aid there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what cool parties are.
Okay. I like that it's like, is still
the
not
most
that cool.
The most G movie version.
Amount of fun is acceptable. All right. Let's bring it on home. Okay, so you have, give me a name for this kid.
Let's go with Connor Williamson.
Connor Williamson. In Refrigerator, Indiana, or Mini Fridge, Alaska.
Clearwater, Montana. Good. It's
no soda, Minnesota.
There's no soda in Minnesota. This is Clearwater.
It's called Flatwater. It's called Flatwater.
Flatwater, Minnesota.
Flatwater Springs, Missouri.
Flatwater Springs.
What state is it in? This is
Missouri.
Okay.
Missouri, soda, Bama. Flatwater Springs, Missouri, soda, Bama. Soda, Bamkinsaw. Flatwater Springs, Missouri, soda, Bamkinsaw. All right. So, yeah, you have Connor. His dad works, and his parents work at the big mini fridge company with everybody else. It's this cool, hip, utopian society with their weird offshoot of Christianity that has like been a little microcosm over the last 200 years. No sugar. No, it's like...
like Mormonism has that.
Yeah,
no,
a little bit.
No
yeah, yeah, but like
no
times
caffeine.
20, right? Because
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
It's like a very like no music, no
yeah, no caffeine.
If you
no,
want music, you can listen to the sweet sound of these refrigerators purr when they're
yeah,
made correctly.
They hum
like, this is really boring.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, I don't know about these hymns. They're a little too raucous, right? And so he's like, Jeepers Creepers. And how does he find this? Kool-Aid tape.
This VHS tape.
Did you just say VHS tape?
I
Jesus,
did.
Matt.
I did. Okay, what if it was like, what if it's like this? What if it's like, it's like he finds, it's like in the old junkyard, there's like an old TV. He's like, he's into electronics, so he like fixes up an old TV and he finds a bunch of old tapes or
something. There's one in the VHS. There's one in the VCR.
He fixes
right?
up, he's like a tinkerer. You know?
Yeah, and it's,
to tie it all together, it's the refrigerator company's not doing very well. So that's why also why his dad's stressed out.
Yeah.
Because there's new smart fridges or something.
I don't know.
Something he's got to figure out. Or this is a period piece and they're like, now they got freezers. I don't know how those things work. So kid's trying to go help his dad and he goes to a junkyard. He goes out of town because he's like, I got to look for parts outside of our small town because the dad doesn't
think. But he sneaks out, right?
He sneaks
out. Again, part of the thing is like they don't expose themselves to new ideas,
yes.
right? So they can't, they're not be able to, their sales are down and they won't, but they can't adapt.
So he sneaks out with a good intention of like, I want to find some new ideas to help our refrigerators
yes,
to become those hot new fangled refrigerators
yeah,
they got
yeah.
nowadays.
Okay.
And then yes, in this junkyard he finds a VHS tape mm-hmm. and he watches it and he sees Kool-Aid.
And then he gets yelled at by his dad for sneaking out
yeah.
and that night he wishes upon a toast star and says, I want Kool-Aid.
Well yeah, because he takes a drink of water and he's just like, doesn't seem to taste as good as mm-hmm. like what those kids were doing in
yeah,
that commercial.
Yeah.
I wish I could have some Kool-Aid.
Well, no, I don't
oh,
think
you it is.
I think it is like, yeah, at first he says and it doesn't do anything,
yeah.
right? Because he
no,
just whispers
no.
it. But
and
then it's
also,
like he has to
oh,
go
you
out.
Do.
He goes out to the high end of town and screams at the top of his lungs,
yeah.
I want Kool-Aid, and nothing happens. But then when he goes home that night, there's a rumble and then his wall
yeah.
bursts open and oh, yeah, it's a Kool-Aid.
You
oh,
gotta do. You gotta do. At dinner, he's like, Dad, what's Kool-Aid? Who told you that? Who told you that word? Timmy from down the street. The Timothy.
He's dead now.
That Timothy. Is a bad well, I just was want to know what it is. You never say that name again in this
all right,
house.
All right, so it's like Pleasantville, and then Kool-Aid Man shows up,
yeah.
and then Kool-Aid Man pours him a tasty drink of Kool-Aid, and it's like Pleasantville, and he starts seeing things in deeper colors.
And
right?
he keeps breaking walls. Like, first thing he's got to do is try to face his dad. Comes like, how did you break the wall of this house?
Yeah.
And then he's at school, and he's stressed out for a test, and the Kool-Aid Man breaks through it.
Okay, so but then you do all right. So then Kool-Aid Man. I mean, this is kind of like Clippy. Like it's a wacky character who comes to help a kid.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you would do like the other kids start drinking the Kool-Aid too, so to speak. This is all about trying to reclaim that phrase.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, all the kids are like starting to, you know, be a little, act out a little. They're just having fun, right? But the adults freak out. They're like, something sinful is happening.
There's a big
town.
PTA meeting. Yeah, people are standing and shouting.
These kids, they all have red lips, right? Like, they all, their tongues are
their
red.
Their tongues are red.
I think it's fun if they think it's the devil.
Yes, I like
the some quack doctor is like, perhaps it is some form of measles.
Yes.
He's got like the little like reflective thing headband, and he stands up with the stethoscope in the town hall meeting. Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so they're like, this red tongue fever is spreading amongst the youth, right? And they're trying to figure out what the cause of it is. And now they're on the hunt. And... meanwhile, the kid is learning how to dance, and I don't know. What does this build up to?
What did he want to be in the end? He wanted to make drinks because he loves... He's like, Dad, I love your refrigerators.
I just want to put something in them.
I just want to put something great in them. I want to make art in your refrigerators. I want to make something wonderful. And his dad, so it'd be like the
party. And
he's
like, you know what people put in these? They put sodas and stuff in them.
And like, he's really, like, oh, he's responsible for the beverages at this party.
Okay.
And they're like, well, son, there's only two options, ice water or warm water. It's a tough choice, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. He's like, oh, he's not sure. He's like, I want to do something different this year. Last year they had warm water.
Well, they have all the different types of ice that you can make with the refrigerator. So it's like, you can. What I recommend is a spread of crushed ice, a spread of cubed ice, the ice with the little circles in them.
And then he finds that he's going to do Kool-Aid. And then the dad's like, the theme for this year's party is you're all stuck in a big wall. And it's like they're just in this empty auditorium. And all they have is flat water. And all the kids are sad because the party's terrible. And then he like they stand up and all the kids start chanting Kool-Aid.
And the adults try to like tell him to quiet down. And finally he busts in. Maybe at some point then like
the dad definitely drinks the Kool-Aid from him. Like he comes crashing in. And then the Kool-Aid, you know, sloshes out of the... Out of
it Kool-Aid gets in
Man's
his mouth. He's like, oh, God, it's in my mouth. And maybe at some point, like, he's trying to hide the Kool-Aid Man. Kool-Aid Man shows up, right?
Yeah.
And he's trying to hide it. And, like, maybe the mayor, corrupt mayor, like, somehow figures it out. And, like, they imprison him, you know? Like, they do something where they imprison him or they chain him up or something so that he can't bust through. Like, we knew that you were the one behind all this. And then he tells the kid, he's like, Kool-Aid Man doesn't want anything to do with you anymore.
Oh,
he
thinks Kool-Aid Man thinks you're not cool.
No, the sad moment would be, like, he does. It's like the kid's, like, got straight A's or something. And it'd be, like, he gets his first B on a report card. And it comes at the same time because he was up late at night drinking Kool-Aid and listening to music for the first time, and he gets a B. And he's like, how are you ever gonna be whatever it is that you want to be, an engineer, if you're gonna get a B? And then
I don't
want to
be an engineer, Dad. I want to be a soda artist.
I
want to work for what's the cane sugar, what's the one of those, the soda company, that Jones. I want to work for Jones Soda someday, you'll see.
And then Kool-Aid Man, he finds Kool-Aid Man who's been hiding as a baptism pool.
Okay, yeah, anyways, he's just been there.
But the dad's like, look what you did. You got my son a B. You're bad for kids. And Kool-Aid Man agrees. He's like, maybe your dad's right. And Kool-Aid Man leaves. You need that moment where
Kool-Aid
like,
Man, don't walk out into the rain. You'll dilute
yourself.
Well,
yes, I think the deeper theme is that sugar water can't solve your problems, right? Like,
yes.
Okay, so yes, you do that. Like, again, like this kid gets a little taste of sugar water, right? He gets a taste of Kool-Aid, and it's fun, and like it's nice. It's nice to have fun. It's a nice relief. But like, you can't substitute it for the work you've got to do as a human being. He forgets about being an artist, right? Like, he forgets about his dream he has like the secret club that he goes to that he blows off because he's having too much fun, and his passion is starting to slip away. I don't know.
He used to mix a lot of cool, interesting virgin cocktails, and then once he started drinking Kool-Aid, he's like, no, why make different drinks? All you need is Kool-Aid.
Oh, you do. It's also like he starts to blow off like the stuff in his town that's actually, you know, it's really worth something.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
plays, well, not music, but you know, he's part of like, you know, like
the spoons
they
band.
They do volunteer work, and he blows it off.
He gets too cool for school.
Okay, yes. Because he's like this underground Kool-Aid drug dealer.
His best friend just doesn't want to have Kool-Aid. His best friend's happy with being a flat water person. That's fine. That's his life. It would be that he calls his best friend lame because he doesn't want to drink Kool-Aid.
Oh.
And he hurts his best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's like, look, just because you like Kool-Aid doesn't mean everybody needs to like Kool-Aid. And you're like, you know what? You're right. Just because I want to do LSD on the weekends doesn't mean Will needs to do LSD on the weekends.
All right. Okay.
I don't do LSD on the weekends, everybody.
So,
I mean, look, I like that he was doing this party with his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, he gets really cool. And this kid's like, this kid is a genuine believer. And he's like, you know, he's just not. He's like, I don't think, you know, Kool-Aid's fun every once in a while, but I think you're having too much Kool-Aid. And then he calls his friend super lame and says, you know, you're kicked off the party planning division. And that's the low point.
I would say that the turn in Act 3 is that he gets to plan the party.
Okay.
I think he wants to plan the party.
And then kids think he's cool. So like,
so
the
yes,
cool
and then
kid
yes, they
like,
all vote for him to play in the party because they're like, because they're all starting, and he's like, yes.
It's
and
like the spring dance.
He and his friend are gonna play in the spring dance together, and then he gets up his butt about how cool he wants to make, and it's gonna be edgy, and it's gonna be about how much the town sucks and how cool Kool-Aid is, right? And then they're like, you're having too much Kool-Aid, right? And even Kool-Aid Man's like, hey, slow down, kid.
And the Kool-Aid Man's like, hey, you know, like, hey, Dad, like, I'm just cool. And he's like, oh yeah, if you're so cool, how come you ruined my son's best friendship? And the Kool-Aid's like, oh, damn.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, Kool-Aid Man has a little arc.
Yeah,
like, he's
Kool-Aid Man's like,
oh,
damn, I fucked up.
Like, yeah, he's
you
like,
tore these two children apart.
I gotta leave. And then the two kids come together when they're like, hey, it's okay if you don't like Kool-Aid. And the kid's like, it's cool that you like Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You just and don't then have like, it all the time. He's like,
and then they're all distraught,
sometime.
And there's not gonna be a party this year. There's not gonna be a party, and everyone has fun at the party, even if it's not cool. Yeah. And they're like, we gotta get together and get that party together. So let's do it, right?
And they have a cool party without Kool-Aid. And then
there's what you do is that the dad sees the dad sees in Act 5 because his son and his son's friend come together to make this party happen, right?
Yeah.
And then the dad and the dad's boss is the mean old man who runs the town who's like, no Kool-Aid, you're in trouble because your son had Kool-Aid or whatever, right? And he sees that like this party needs some fucking Kool-Aid. Like this the dad, you know, he married into the town, right? Like he met the mom when the mom was delivering stuff and like was delivering refrigerators and he fell in love and then he moved to the town and she died and he's always had like kind of conflict, you know, like he's been he learned to love the town but he also knows like the outside world a little bit more and he stands up to the boss at the end and he gets everyone to start saying I want Kool-Aid, like we want Kool-Aid, and then he and the son like are he's like I love you dad, I love you son, and then the Kool-Aid man bursts through the wall
and they all have Kool-Aid and then the refrigerator company starts giving a free pack of Kool-Aid with a refrigerator, and it makes the sales turn around.
Everyone's like, that's what these refrigerators needed.
You need to pre-fill
Kool-Aid
them with drinks.
It's, you know what it's got?
It's a dispenser.
It's got,
it's got Kool-Aid dispenser.
Dispenser right in the refrigerator.
Nice.
And then the mayor comes up and he's like, you get out of here, and he punches him square in the face.
He goes, I can still do stunts.
And he walks out. The end. The All Kool-Aid right. movie. That sounds great.
It's like a G.
That wound up pretty wholesome from where it started.
True, that's for damn sure. When we come back, the elevator pitch.
Beginning this summer, you can listen to new episodes of Inside Pop every other week for an even deeper dive inside the world of pop culture.
Now, we're still bringing you our brilliant insight, always on the nose opinions, and insidery inside information on the most interesting pop culture stories of the week.
And we'll also have interviews with the pop culture professionals who create the culture you crave.
For example, we'll speak to casting directors about how they find the right talent for the right role.
We'll talk to music supervisors about how they choose the music to create the right mood.
And we'll grill producers who'll discuss what exactly a producer does.
Oh man, Sean, how many times has someone said to you, oh, you're a producer, so what do you actually do?
So many times.
Same here. So make sure to catch Inside Pop every other Wednesday on Maximum Fun to indulge your pop culture obsessions.
And to hear in-depth interviews from the movers and the shakers in TV, music, film, and more.
Hey, everybody. This is Matt Arnold back from our break. I'm back from our break. Hopefully you're back too.
Otherwise, back too, man. And I am ready to pitch this cool movie. Hey, everyone. We're in the craft laboratory. It looks a lot like if you remember those old commercials where the crap gets your noodle going and like the wacky macaroni and cheese factory. So I'm walking past big bubbling vats of macaroni and cheese. Hi, Mr. Receptionist. How do I get to the floor to see Mr. Kraft?
Well, first you walk past the Fruit Loop aisle and then you head down the chocolate straw.
Does Kraft have any chocolate? Okay, sure.
And then you go to the door that says Mr. Kraft Food.
Very good. Before I go, could you name 5 Kraft products for me, please?
Without Googling them.
I think there's Kraft Krispies.
Okay. Kraft Krispies.
Pringles.
Pringles.
Kraft Mac and Cheese.
Okay.
Ding.
Milk. I'm assuming.
Hey, one more.
I do need to get to this pitch, so if you could name one more Kraft
Gushers.
Thing. Gushers. Gushers. Okay. Well, thank you for your help. Oh, I think I see Mr. Kraft over here.
Hello,
hey,
my name is Bernard Hees. I'm Bernard Hees. I've been the Kraft Heinz Company CEO since 2015. Give me one second. Hey, you.
Yes, Mr.
You're
Hees.
You're fucking fired.
Sorry, Mr. Hees.
Pack your shit and hit the bricks. You're fired.
Understood. Sorry, Mr. Hees.
Couldn't even name 5.
Okay.
Good God.
Mr. Hees.
Could you name 5 Mr. Hees?
Are you kidding me? I am the CEO of Kraft Foods, Kraft Heinz Food Group. There's your first Hint right there.
It sounds like Mr. Hees is stalling a bit on
Jell-O,
this answer.
Jell-O, Kool-Aid, Philadelphia cream cheese.
How did you not name Kool-Aid?
Oscar Mayer wieners.
And you've proven your point,
and my
Mr.
purpose,
Hees,
my favorite one, Velveeta cheese.
You've proven your point. I'm packing my bags and I'm going. I've been okay, fired.
Here you go, a movie pitch.
Good luck on this pitch, stranger.
Speaking of Kool-Aid, have I got one cool movie for you. Allow me to bust down the doors of this elevator and pitch it to you if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, go for it.
What does it mean to be cool? A question that our story will answer as it takes you all the way to a little town called Flatwater, Missouri, Arkansas, Nevada. Fictional state. It's kind of like our goof on like a Valverde or, you know, like one of those fictional countries, but like an American spin on it. And in this town, they make refrigerators and they don't do much else because, you see, they don't believe in fun at all. This is like Footloose times 1,000. And so in this town, young boy wants, he doesn't want to just make refrigerators. He wants to put stuff in them. He's heard about these fabled things called sodas and sugary drinks. And that's what he wants out of life. He wants to express himself. He wants to be an individual. And he goes off for inspiration. He goes to the old junkyard to look for inspiration because his soda machines, refrigerator machine sales are down. And he's trying to help his dad come up with an next great idea. And what does he discover? An old VHS tape. What's on that old VHS tape? Why, it's a Kool-Aid commercial, of course.
Love those commercials.
He realizes that those kids in those ads always scream, "I want Kool-Aid." And then the Kool-Aid man busts through a wall and gives them Kool-Aid, and they're able to have fun, right? And so he thinks about his dumb, boring life. He doesn't like very much because he doesn't appreciate it that much, and he's going to learn about that in the end of the movie. He's going to learn a valuable lesson. He says, "I want Kool-Aid," and it doesn't do anything. He says, "I want Kool-Aid," and it doesn't do anything. And he says, "I want Kool-Aid," and then lo and behold, Kool-Aid Man busts through the door, and he's like, "Kool-Aid Man, you're real?" And he's like, "You bet your ass I am." Or rather, he says, "Oh, yeah." And then it's kind of like an E.T. type story where you've got this kid, he's hiding Kool-Aid Man in his basement. Meanwhile, he and all the kids in the town are drinking Kool-Aid and like having a fun time for once. We have a wacky scene where the Kool-Aid Man is disguised as a font for a baptism scene, and then a little baby gets dunked in Kool-Aid and comes out with a pair of shades. Big old laugh for everyone. You know, no angry letters from any Christian people whatsoever about how sacrilegious that is. And so, you know, he's like, "Man, this is so cool." He uses his newfound cool clout to get the thing he's always wanted, which is to plan the Hay Festival dance, which is normally a really boring affair, but he thinks he can make it cool this year. He's kind of becoming a shitty little kid as this is going on. He's becoming kind of judgy and mean. Yeah. And his best friend is like, "You're kind of changing, man. Like, maybe we should just do the Hay Festival like normal and maybe have a little Kool-Aid and it'll be funny." He's like, "No, I want to show everyone how dumb this town is and how cool everything is now that I'm, you know, doing Kool-Aid stuff." And meanwhile, like, the town is like, they're like, there's this case of red fever tongue going around, and it's all the kids secretly having fun, but they don't know that.
That's the Kool-Aid, right?
It's the Kool-Aid.
I get it.
So our kind of low point moment is he has this rift with his best friend, and they both get kicked off of doing the Kool-Aid, the Hay Festival, and it doesn't even look like they're going to have a Hay Festival. Kool-Aid Man as well realizes, wow, I've been kind of need to check myself a little bit. I kind of busted
before he wrecks himself.
he busted into this situation without looking at the window first and seeing what was going on. So he speaks some truth to power. The kid has a big fight with Kool-Aid Man. Kool-Aid Man goes away. And then the kid realizes the real lesson. He comes together with his friend. "We're going to do the Hay Festival like normal this year, just like always. It's going to be you and me, clean, wholesome fun." And the dad of the kid is like deeply moved. And he's like, "Wow, man. Connor Williamson, you've taught your old man a lesson or two." So the old man gets a chant going at the party for Kool-Aid. And the kids are crazy for Kool-Aid. And the old man's like mean boss is like, "Stop that this instant. This town has no Kool-Aid." And then Kool-Aid Man busts through the wall and a big party happens. The old man like drinks a little bit of it. And he flashes back to like when he was in the Korean War. And he was thinking about his wife back home.
Okay.
And, you know, like they had this whole romance and they weren't able to talk to each other. But, you know, they used to have Kool-Aid and they had Kool-Aid at their wedding. And then she died. And that's why he's never allowed sweets in the town again, but it takes him back, and he goes like, "You've opened my heart, Kool-Aid Man. Kool-Aid for all." And that is how they save their company, because now all the refrigerators have a Kool-Aid dispenser in them. And they kick Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff fucking Bezos and Elon Musk, all those Silicon Valley pricks who think they can take over the refrigerator business with their smart apps and their bullshit, and they fucking kick them right to the curb because they've got Kool-Aid on their side.
William, I love it. Let me ask you this, though. Well, what do you see the rating of this movie at?
This one gets a PG for pretty good.
PG. You know, the thing, I love it. I love it. And I think, who's that guy standing behind you there?
Is that Matt Arnold? Matt, you made it past the lobby.
Hi.
Let me just ask you something real quick. Any PG movie worth its salt has like a good song for it. And can I show you something I've been working on real quick?
Yes, absolutely. I think he's getting a guitar. I don't know what's happening.
Matt, looking at you specifically, if you maybe come up with the lyrics for this song that will be part of the movie, and this is dependent, our green light is
Matt,
dependent on
you're
this.
The best freestyle rapper I know. I know you are going to be able to play, you're going to be able to off the dome come up with a great theme song. Do not mess this up because I've got him so close to that green light.
So I was thinking a little bit like a...
This town is not as cool as Kool-Aid. This town could be cooler if Kool-Aid came to town. Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kool-Aid.
It's pretty cool.
Cooler than your dad. Your dad is fucking lame. Whoa. He don't like Kool-Aid because
you want to say fuck in this one? I just want to be clear.
You do get one.
I think the rule is every PG movie gets one fuck in it.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go ahead and rescind my green light there.
No!
I'm sorry, Will, I tried.
Matt, you son of a bitch. Well, guys, that's the episode. Thanks to the head of craft for bringing that one on home with a fun little song. If you want more songs, tweet at Freddie with the hashtag more songs. And we will do more songs on future episodes and make Matt sing them.
No, I've always wanted to get Matt on the MC sort of thing because, you know, he is one of the most talented MCs of our generation. Let's be honest.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's... hey, Will,
how do we end these podcasts, gentlemen?
Well, I'll tell you this. What we don't do is that we don't just go straight to the ending. We first check in on all the very good fan art and tweets that
we
have come our way.
Art.
Hot crawdads. Did we get some good stuff this week, guys?
And for those of you who are wondering how you can get in contact with us in this way, at RJ Storybreak on Twitter, what did we get this week, Will?
Boy, oh boy, we got some good stuff. First of all, shouts out to Jordan Does TV. Sorry we missed you on the last Waluigi episode, but we got a great, finally got some good Waluigi fan art. He got us a story for, the story of Waluigi. Thanks, Jordan. We also got some more fan art from our friend 8, who delivered us an amazing poster for Rochambeau. Another classic hand-drawn 8 poster. This one's got like a sort of like Greek theme with like two statues doing the rock, paper, scissors vibe. Like it very much embraced
nailed
that.
The Greek theme.
Nailed that Greek theme being well done, 8. We got another one from the Dog Leech. This was a really wild poster. This one's almost got like kind of a... what's that creepy Stanley Kubrick movie, Eyes Wide Shut? Like, it's got some kind of, like, orgy masks in it. Don't think, just throw. Rochambeau. So thank you to the Dog Leech. We've also got one from John Barr, like a sort of minimalist, iconic Rochambeau poster, like a really stripped-down rock, paper, scissors theme. Bad Night and Bad Luck was the tagline on that one. I thought that was a really clever spin. And then we got an awesome retro-themed, almost like a Grindhouse-style poster from Jurassic Pop. This one's called Rock, Paper, Scissors, Die. And it's got like a really cool, like bloodied scissors versus rock going on. Speaking of scissors, shouts out to my Scissors Samurai crew. Great minds think alike.
I got
a bunch of people blew me up. We've got a whole squad going. So if you threw scissors
that's
in the last
so
week's
good.
Episode, a doff of the cap to you.
Oh my gosh.
And that is it for our fan art this week. Freddie, thanks as well to everyone for leaving us those iTunes reviews. We really appreciate it, guys.
Thank you to Connor Williamson for lending us your name. And if you want to maybe hear your name, and no guarantees as to the context of it in a future Storybreak episode, tweet us at RJ Storybreak. We'll add them to a big old list of names that we draw upon when we are, you know, got a little bit of that writer's need to pull up names in the middle of our stories. Thank you also to Maximum Fun for having us on their network. I was just on earlier this week. The episode's going to come out in a month or so, but that was on International Waters.
Oh, which cool. You didn't tell us that.
Yeah, it was just a quick record. It was a lot of fun. But check out MaximumFun.org for more podcasts, such as International Waters, and also Everything's Coming Up Simpsons, the full-on Simpsons podcast. Will,
very
I feel
cool.
Like that's like so far up your
that's,
alley.
That is everything
fair.
Up my alley.
Is it a Simpsons podcast?
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, shit.
And listen to the episode of Internet. I'll let you know. I'll know when that episode comes out. But yeah, that's going to do it for us this week. Matt, any thoughts?
Any thoughts?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just looking at people arguing about who is better, Britney Spears or Taylor Swift, which is
very
like,
good. Thank you, Matt, for tuning in all the way through the podcast.
Thanks, Cameron Covell.
Yeah, for the slicer and dicer slicer extraordinaire and dicer. For taking our ridiculous.
Thanks, Britney Spears, for being better than Taylor Swift.
Yes, yeah, Matt, why don't you kick us off into our final little send off?
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Story Break. And Taylor
is
not
the
cool
one
of
boats.
All right. Taylor is not the cool one of boats, everybody.
Wow. Thank great improv from the Story Boys. See you guys.
Hi, I'm Paula Poundstone.
And I'm Adam Felber.
Adam, I haven't gotten one thing done today.
Well, let me see your to-do list. Ah, yeah. Well, here. Make 30-second promo for Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, so at least you're getting that done.
Score!
Except you haven't said what the show is about.
We're like a comedy field guide to life, starring me and you. I give useful advice, and we have real experts to talk about things like how to keep a friend, or what to do when you encounter a bear.
Bully for you, but you haven't said where people can find the show.
Oh, MaximumFun.org.